Blog Talk Radio.
Who is January Jones? She is not a young, beautiful, talented actress on Mad Men. She is not an older, gorgeous, exotic dancer from the Johnny Carson Show. She is an author, and she wrote Thou Shall Not Whine, the 11th Commandment, that reached number one at Amazon.com. She is a reality TV golf personality with World High Stakes Golf televised on HDNet. She is a humorist and winologist expert. She is your featured host today on January Jones Sharing Success Stories. So sit back, relax, and get ready to laugh and listen to Ms. Jones with her eclectic roster of guests on Blog Talk Radio as you learn life's lessons. These stories plus sharing equals success. Welcome, and remember, beware, because you are entering the no whining world of January Jones.
I'm pleased to welcome back to our show Andrea Amador. Hello, Andrea. How are you today, dear?
Hello, January. It's wonderful being here.
Well, you know, I've had you on the show before. I love having you on the show. We have a real wonderful rapport. You're so generous about sharing your success story with my listeners. You know, you are truly one of my priceless personalities, which is a blatant plug for my new book that's coming out next month. Could you share with my listeners your story? Where did it all start for you? Tell us about when you were growing up and what your life was like.
My story is that there's a lot of abuse in my history. It started as early as 5 years old when a doorman tried to molest me. And soon after, it kind of opened the door for so many other miscellaneous men to do similar things. But what really, really hurt was when my stepfather, my mother was seeing this man, and he soon became my stepfather. He kind of introduced me to a stable of perversity, all of his friends, and wow, that was horrible. When I was about 11 or 12, I got the incredible opportunity to live with my father, who I have always adored. I love my dad so much. And it was finally a place where I could be safe. And he didn't know my secret, and my stepmother didn't know my secret until I was about 16 years old. But the really amazing thing was, at that time, the personal growth movement was just starting to explode. And he was fascinated by all of this. And he brought me to my first personal growth seminar, which was mind control. That rocked my world. I began the process of empowerment way back when. I was 11 years ago. I think that was 39 years ago. I'm 50 now. What I want to share with your listeners is that many, many times when we learn things in terms of empowerment and, you know, learning that your thoughts are powerful and that you can change your life and all this wonderful stuff, all of these lofty ideas, if you don't have the technology to deal with the crud and the junk that develops as a result of being sexually abused or anything that is traumatic, then you won't realize it, but you will sabotage yourself and you'll continually step in your own way. It's like being on the gas and the brake at the same time.
Okay. That's a very good, very excellent analogy, being on the gas and the brake. You know, we've had so many survivors on the show, and it's so interesting to me that it's such a secret when they've been sexually abused. It's very difficult to talk about that and to tell people. How did it come out of you finally when you were 16? How did you get it out of you?
I remember the first person I told was Jenny, who was my stepmother's sister. And she was so shocked. We were just folding laundry, and she says, "Oh, my God, we have to tell Rosie." So then the next person I told was Rosie, my stepmother, and she said, oh, my God, we have to tell Daddy. So I told my father, and Thanksgiving was right around the corner. And he said, we're going to fly your mother up here. You're going to tell your mother, and, you know, we're going to handle this.
Okay.
And I was not at all prepared for my mother's response. She didn't believe it at all.
Oh, really?
And it led to maybe a period of about 10 years being estranged from one another.
Okay. And, you know, this
hurt.
This happens often, doesn't it? There's a lot of denial that goes with it, and especially for the parent who, you know, when it happens on your watch, so to speak, you really want to deny it and disavow it. Don't you agree?
It does. At the point when my mother and I were working on healing our relationship, way back when I was in my mid-20s or so, I was seeing a therapist. My therapist had met my mother, and she said, at that time, my mom had already been diagnosed as having bipolar manic depressive disorder. And she said, you know, Andrea, I just bet that your mother has always had, you know, bipolar, and that it was never, ever diagnosed. And her tendency to kind of hide and stick her head in the sand and not, you know, be aware of what's going on, that was all part of it. So it made me realize that I could no longer point the finger of blame and say, it's your fault, you should have done this, you should have helped me, because she was struggling with her own issues.
Okay. And we so often find out that in these incest situations where sexual abuse occurs, sometimes the perpetrator themselves have been abused as children themselves. It's incestuous, obviously, the way it goes from one generation to the next generation. Now, your mother, you're okay now? Have you reunited and gotten things worked out?
Yes, we have. It was really nothing short of amazing the way it all happened. It started back in 2004 when I was going through my NLP training. NLP is basically a way of being able to change the way that you see things in an empowering light. And I was going through that coaching training, and something took me back in my memory to the worst experience of being in this position of, you know, being with George's friends. And I my body just completely responded in a way that was completely unlike I had ever had. I started shaking and trembling out of control, and I was in a class situation. It's really uncool to be there in that type of a vulnerable place. It's very, very inconvenient. And I was sitting in a circle, watching my hands on top of my knees, shaking out of control. And the woman who was sitting next to me, my classmate, tapped on my shoulder to get my attention, and she said, are you okay? And I shook my head no, and she kind of pulled me out of the room. And as soon as the door closed, I started crying hysterically because I was so immersed in that memory. I was there. I heard her say through my tears, I know you don't know what it is that I do, but I'm an emotional freedom technique practitioner. And I know that I can help you if you'll allow me to tap on your hand and parts of your face and under your arms. She said, is that okay with you? And I shook my head yes. And she said, can you speak? And I shook my head no. And she said, that's okay. Can you hum as I do this? And I shook my head. And then she started tapping on the side of my hand, and the word I remember the most is she was saying, even though, and she was talking, she was describing, you know, the fears, even though I feel so anxious and my body is out of control and I'm so scared, she wasn't getting any feedback from me. She was just, based on the way that I was presenting, she was just going through. And then at some point, she must have been able to read by watching my face that I could speak. And she says, can you speak now? And I said, yes. And that's when I was able to help her. And the two of us were dissecting the memory bit by bit. And she helped me to completely change the way that I saw that memory, where I was coding it before as poor Andrea, the victim. And